This is New Beginnings, hosted by award-winning broadcaster and speaker Freddie Bell. A program for and about America's 78 million baby boomers. Here's your host, Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back from the long holiday weekend, and I hope you enjoyed yourselves and got a lot of sun and maybe some swimming, too. Coming up on the show this week, we visit with Kitty Harris from the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. She talks about Alive and Kicking. We'll tell you more about that. Joe McKenzie is here, too, talking career advice. We also hear from Leibel Sternbach, and he has some great information about your money on New Beginnings, plus lifestyle information from Cassie Crandall. And we feature a lesson from Unity South Twin Cities. All this and more this week on New Beginnings. The show starts right now. Hi again, everybody, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And joining us right now is Mr. Joe McKenzie. He is the founder of Ripple Connects. He turns candidates into contenders. How can we reach you?
They can reach me via the web, and that's rippleconnects.com. Or call me directly at 763-438-1621. I acknowledge everybody's calls. Love to be a resource to them in regards to their career.
All right. Joe McKenzie with us today. And today we want to talk about long-term perspective and career setbacks. Let's dissect that a little bit. Let's talk about the long-term perspective. What are you talking about that in regards to your career?
I think everybody should take a look at a longer-term perspective than just day-to-day or even just quarter-to-quarter. We grow. We seek new challenges. We have setbacks. And if we can overlay our longer goal in our goals that we have in our career, I think it does help us offset some of the setbacks. But often we get so immersed in the day-to-day that we can't even see next week. And I do think it's important to keep a long-term perspective because, after all, this is our career. Each of us go to work each day to drive results and overcome challenges and provide services and so forth. But at the end of the day, it is our career, and that is what has to come into play when we are looking at ourselves each day, is that we have a longer-term perspective. And having that does help us offset some of the short-term setbacks we have in our career.
So are you minimizing a career setback, Joe McKenzie?
No, I'm trying to put it in, help people put it in the right perspective, because we've all been there. We've all been passed over for a promotion, or we've lost out on, you know, lost an account or some funding or some challenges that are external to our organization have bear down on our companies. And those can be looked at as negative if we only look at it as just what we're currently working through. Not trying to minimize it, Freddie Bell, but trying to keep it in the right perspective as we look at our career as a whole.
So how do you, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, we're talking about taking the long-term perspective, and as we look at career setbacks, I can think about when I was in the business several years ago, I won't give you the exact year, but I recall getting a call from the person in charge, and he says, well, Freddie, you're done, and my wonderful show, I thought was wonderful, I guess not, it was being replaced by a stock market report. And I'm thinking now, it was tough not to take it personally. It was really a tough professional pill to swallow. So how do you put that in context with what you're talking about, the long-term perspective, a situation like that?
Well, you look at that moment in time, you don't know what the future lies, right?
That's correct.
You're wondering what's next for yourself, and you probably look back now and see maybe a different path that you were going to take. What if that show wasn't replaced? Where would you be compared to today? That is helpful to look back, but also for someone that may be experiencing it now, that may be helpful to see how that's going to play out in your career. I was passed over, I remember, in the office equipment industry for a major account role. And I took that personally to some extent until I was offered a management role, or at least a coaching of younger or new sales reps. And really, that was the first time I'd ever really applied that in my professional life. And here I am close to 20 years later helping people in their careers. At the time, I thought it was passed over. That was a negative. Should I move on? but I stayed, and it created a new opportunity for me, and that was recruitment, retention, and basically helping people thrive in their own sales career. So I think that is helpful to look back. But for someone that's going through it right now, start to think about what you're learning about yourself. What new avenue is going to be created? What new skills are you going to have to apply to get through this setback that you could carry on to that next situation too? And I think that is probably the most healthy way to look at those career setbacks in the short term.
It does it take a lot of discipline, and when you're in the middle of that setback, or in the two examples that we've just outlined, you just lost your job, and you're going, it's tough to say, okay, what am I going to learn from this in that moment?
It you do have to stay disciplined and try to find something that is going to help you down the road. It could have been external forces of an industry that was changing. That's the reason why you're seeking another job, thinking critically about the environment or why it happened. Yes, I think it is. You have to remove some of the emotion of it, because you're going to have to work through it. You're going to have to land on your feet to find that next opportunity. I think that's what I hear you saying when you talk about someone losing their job. It may be a part of a bigger something that's going on that's caused that to happen. And I think it is wise for you to kind of to determine what is going on, so you don't you sidestep it the next time around, or you're into a new industry that may not be experiencing the same situations.
You've also talked in earlier programs about always looking forward. So I may have the ideal situation right now, but I should also always have an eye on the future, the career development, maybe looking at the industry and understanding what the next step might be. Would that be useful, a useful tool for those who find themselves in a career crossroads?
Absolutely, Freddie. And that, always being having the wherewithal to be looking forward and having a longer goal in mind helps us process how we're going to get there. And maybe that short-term setback may be just part of that. And keeping that longer-term goals for yourself is probably a good way to go about working through that setback. I know I've been there where it's like, okay, well, that occurred, but I also knew that this is where I'm going. And I remember even just staying in that copier industry, there was a merger that all of us, a lot of my colleagues were impacted by. And I remember talking to the human resource person about what's next for me. And that has a lot to do with what I'm doing now in the nonprofit, being the spokesperson for that organization, and just being out front, being that communicator for that organization. I remember distinctly telling that person, that's where I want to go. But that was the moment that I was basically turning in my resignation, taking my severance. But I also saw myself doing something different than selling office equipment at that moment in time over 17 years ago.
Everybody, we're talking with Joe McKenzie, our career expert on New Beginnings. We're talking about taking the long-term perspective when you find yourself immersed in a career setback. A career setback could be anything about, as you mentioned, being passed over for a promotion, or maybe a company is, they call it right-sizing, and it could just put you in a different department, or maybe it causes you to have to move across the country. But I think you just, there is a person who says, I never see failure as failure, but only as the information I need to move to the next level. Is that what you're talking about, Joe McKenzie?
Yes, that clarity is also going to help you make better decisions going forward. But I think it also teaches you to be more nimble and ready to seek new opportunities in case. You know, when you see it happen to yourself unfold and you almost become a spectator in your own career, well, it doesn't take too many times before you start to say, okay, I am going to be proactive. I am going to remain vigilant to make sure that if I see opportunities, I will know they're out there and how I can pivot quick. And I do think that's what it teaches us, that nothing's always, 100% certain for the long term. is that we teach ourselves to watch, to engage with others, to be ready to watch for those new opportunities for ourselves. Because at the end of the day, Freddie, it's our career. It's not anybody else's, but it is our career, and we have to make good decisions based upon the knowledge that we've gained and the knowledge that we're gathering on making good career decisions.
That makes a lot of sense. So the three things that you would have us think about as we consider taking the long-term perspective this weekend?
I would say recognize that in the short term it's painful, but also just know that keep that longer-term perspective of where you want to go with your career, and that will help you to make, not minimize the situation, but turn a negative into a more positive outlook going forward. And just what did you learn about yourself and how you handled it? And so you can make better decisions and be at the ready in case you do have to make those good decisions. And just also just see it as it could be a healthy way for you to, continue to grow. And I think people, when they're in a situation where they can grow in their career and they see that advancement, that does help you move forward. So maybe it was something that you saw that it was harder at that moment to see, but maybe this opens up or clears the deck for you to grow professionally.
Joe, you do some fine work at Ripple Connects.
Yes, we do. We turn candidates into contenders.
And this is New Beginnings.
Introducing the New Beginnings podcast, featuring career, health, and financial information for people on the go. To get your fresh start, visit freddiebell.com/newbeginnings. Check out the New Beginnings podcast today.
Get the most from AARP, including advice and support to help you care for your loved ones. Fraud prevention with tips and tools to help protect you from scams and fraud, including a free helpline if you've been targeted, a scam tracking map, and watchdog alerts via email through the AARP Fraud Watch Network. If you don't know AARP, you don't know ARP.
More information at AARP.org.
You're listening to New Beginnings.
New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Now it's time for a little fun this week on New Beginnings. A study discovered that young children learn technology skills before they ever learn life skills like tying their shoes or making breakfast for themselves. The study uncovered such revelations like 25% of small children could open a web browser while only 20% could swim without assistance. 29% of the children between the ages of 2 and 5 can play with a smartphone app, but only 9% could actually tie their shoelaces. How about this for a stolen vehicle? An officer in South Africa had pulled the truck over and the driver ran. The truck was impounded and then stolen from the police impound lot. But the thieves were so nervous they crashed the truck and security guards were able to get the truck back. Hours later, it was stolen again from the impound lot. One of the thieves waved at the security guard as they drove away. And can you guess? A third of all ice cream sold had this in common. Yes, it's vanilla. And a California shoplifter stuffed a $60 bottle of vodka in his pants and walked out of the store. I love stories of people who get into trouble for stuffing things down their pants. A shoplifter who stuffed a frozen turkey drumstick down her underpants was caught because she couldn't stop hopping around in the supermarket because it was so cold. A man in Florida got tossed out of his mom's retirement home when he tried to smuggle a grilled cheese sandwich out of the facility's cafeteria without paying. And a Canadian man tried to smuggle 38 turtles in his pants as he returned from a trip to the United States. A judge banned him from owning turtles for 10 years. Just for fun on New Beginnings.
In today's world, we really need words of encouragement. Introducing Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell. Let your mind be opened by the wisdom of thought. Let the inspiration of the words feed your mind, body, and spirit. Regardless of the issues you face each day, Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell can help you power through. Words to the Wise by Freddie Bell, a handy reference, available on Amazon, FreddieBell.com, and Barnes & Noble.
This is a news-oriented broadcast, and all information is educational in nature, is not intended to be legal, securities, tax, or insurance advice. Please consult with the appropriate professional before acting on information heard during the broadcast.
You're listening to New Beginnings. New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everyone. I'm Freddie Bell, and now it's time to talk finance with Libel Sternbach. Libel is an Amazon best-selling author of Living with Financial Anxiety and Authenticity. Libel, welcome back to New Beginnings. How are you this week?
Hey, how are you doing today?
Unbelievable. I've made it through the fireworks and all the rest of it, and I guess it's time to get down to business. How about you?
Same here. Had a great weekend.
All right. Let's talk about the market and the importance of investing. So first of all, Libel, let's level set. What is, quote, the market?
So the market, when people talk about the market, what we're referring to generally, and there are a few ways that this phrase is used, but generally speaking, when we talk about the market in general terms, we're talking about the stock exchange and the ability to buy and sell pieces of a company or pieces of a loan to a company, or any kind of, you know, slicing and dicing of basically those two instruments, right? Of, you know, I either own a fractional share of a company or I've loaned a fractional amount to a company and they're going to now invest that in building their company, hiring employees, creating widgets and selling them, right? So the market, when we talk about the market, there's really two things that people are talking about. The first is what we call the stock exchange. And it's a broad term, right? Because there is, like, you know, the New York Stock Exchange on Wall Street that you can go down to. But generally speaking, when we talk about the market, we're talking about the ability to own a fractional share in a much larger corporation. So, you know, let's take Microsoft or IBM or Facebook. So these are huge companies. They have tens of thousands of employees. They span the world, right? They do major services. And if I wanted to own a piece of that, right, if I was, you know, if we didn't have the stock market, I'd have to pony up tens of millions of dollars to be able to even own 1%. The stock market allows me to own a fraction of a fraction of a percent of the company and participate in their profits. Now, there are lots of different things that we call the market, right? I can own equity in that, that stock. It's no different than owning, you know, going into business partnership with your friend, other than it's regulated. And we have defined terms of, you know, how much I own and how I can sell it. I can have loans, right? I can loan money to those companies and they'll in turn give me interest. Now, that's one reference to the markets. Another reference to the markets, and this is what you hear on TV a lot when they say, well, the market was up 5% or the market was down 5%. What they are referring to is usually a basket of companies. So there's a company called Standards & Poor's, and they've been around for over 100 years. And what they do is they compile lists of companies and they group them together. And so one of the most common ones is what's called the S&P 500. It's the top 500 companies in the United States. And when they move, right, and when people are buying and selling them and willing to pay a higher price for them, then the market overall, most companies in general, will have gone up. Same thing when it goes down. And it's because these are the, you know, 500 largest companies. It's an indication of how the overall market is behaving. So when we talk about the market, we're referring to lots of different things. But in general, what we're referring to is the fact that you can own pieces of this company, of these companies, and that they kind of move together overall. Not exactly, but sort of overall. Does that, you know, answer your question?
It does. And it brought up one other question. So when you mentioned the top 500 companies, is that like a barometer of our stock financial health of the country?
So in the United States, it's, you know, the top 500 companies, but there are, you know, thousands and thousands of companies in the United States. And when we look at, you know, because it's by size, these companies and this list, there are times, like in recent history, where that list is dominated by just a few names. You know, so over the last few years, you may have heard the term FANG, which stands for, you know, Facebook, Amazon, Netflix, Microsoft, right? These companies, Google, these companies that make up the vast majority of the S&P 500's worth, they're not the bulk of the United States economy, right? Not by a wide margin. They are significant. They have lots of money. But when you look at the overall health, right, what you're really talking about is these tech companies of the S&P 500. You're not talking about the mom and pop shop that's selling, you know, bagels and danishes around the corner. You're not talking about the pizzeria. They're too small to even be noticed. And they're not, you know, what affects Microsoft doesn't really affect them. So it's an indication of, you know, large companies, really, really large companies, but it can be distorted. So it's important not to equate our economic health with market success, right? What happens in the market is not related to what happens in the economy.
Interesting, everybody. We're talking with Leibel Sternbach, and we're talking about the market. And now that we have a fundamental idea of what the market is, how does it work?
So it works in one of two ways. There's when a new company gets listed. So a new company joins the market, and they do what's called an initial public offering. And they'll go one-on-one to individual investors, and your bank will call you up and they'll say, hey, we've got a new company that's listing, and they're selling their shares, and they'll sell it directly to the public. And the reason why a company goes public is usually because they've gotten so large that the amount of money that they need to raise, right, because companies need cash in order to grow. They borrow money or they take on investors to be able to build, you know, manufacturing plants, to be able to hire employees. And so at a certain point, banks are no longer large enough to give these companies the amount of money that they need. So these companies go directly to the public, and they'll bring on hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of smaller investors so that they can get a larger amount of money. And that's how we get things like SpaceX, right? No one person could fully fund space travel, but you have thousands of individuals, right? And all of a sudden you can have space tourism and you can have private space companies. So going public, right, and going on the markets is about going direct to investors. And so you can do it by going direct. But then once you do that going direct, now people are trading back and forth, right? You can't go to the company and say, well, I no longer want to own your piece of the company. Give me my money back, right? They're not going to do that. They already used up your money. So what you need to do is you need to go find someone else who's willing to buy it. And that's where things start getting interesting, right? If I own, you know, let's say 1,000 shares of SpaceX, and I need the cash because I need to pay my rent, I need to pay my mortgage, and I go to sell that, well, who's to say what the value is, right? SpaceX isn't, you know, it's not a ton of wheat. It's not a loaf of bread. It's not milk. It's not steak, right? I can't go and use that. So someone else needs to say, well, I think SpaceX is going to do good, or I think they're not going to do good. And therefore, based on my expectations of the future, I'm willing to pay you XYZ for your shares in this company. And all of a sudden, right, you have thousands, tens of thousands, or millions of people all at the same time buying and selling, saying what they perceive the value of a company to be. And that becomes the market value. That becomes, you know, what a company is worth is what it can be bought and sold for, which may be very different than what it actually owns, right? SpaceX owns fuel, it owns rockets, it owns, you know, expensive equipment, but it may trade on the market for less than the value of that equipment that you could, you know, then sell that equipment to people who would use it. or even the inherent value of it, because it's all based on what someone else is willing to buy or sell it for. And that can become a dangerous game for us, especially in retirement. And so while we can profit off of the fact that companies over the long run will do well, or sometimes people's perception of companies is that they'll do really well in the future and they're willing to pay a high price for something, at the same time, it can hurt us, because when people are not willing to pay those high prices, all of a sudden this theoretical value can disappear.
So,
right? Go ahead.
So is that what causes stock prices to go up and down, Leibel?
That is 100% what causes stock prices to go up and down. Stock prices go up when people's expectation of the future is rosy and everyone's like, oh, the world is great and everything's going to be good. And then what happens is some news comes out or something comes out that makes people reconsider reality. And all of a sudden people get pessimistic. It's not like they go like, oh, okay, well, you know, I'll readjust my expectations a little bit. They usually swing wildly, right? They're a little bipolar, and people are optimistic about the future. Price goes up. People are pessimistic about the future. Price goes down. What people are trying to do is they're trying to price out, you know, what the future will be. Now, what also happens in this entire kind of thing that happens is you have institutional investors. So let's take, like, you know, the New York State Fire Department, you know, their association, right? And you got the police union, and they've got billions of dollars that they have to invest for their pensions, right? Or for their union. And when they're investing billions of dollars, they have to follow strict rules. And in following those strict rules, sometimes what will happen is the market will go down because people get overly pessimistic about something. And it could be completely unfounded, right? But it's enough people got pessimistic enough that they were willing to sell at really low prices. And by doing that, they devalued the company enough that it triggers these rules to go off. And all of a sudden, these major institutional investors, and I think it's worth pointing out, that the vast majority of money in the stock market is institutional investors, is these people who are running it for these really large organizations. So, you know, local governments, pensions, unions, billions and billions of dollars, trillions of dollars are being controlled by essentially committees that have to follow rules, very strict rules. And when these sell-offs happen, their rules get triggered. And they have to move their money. So they have to either move to something that is, you know, less risky, or they have to move into something that's more opportunistic, whatever the rules say they have to do. Mm-hmm. And that can further a sell-off. And it used to be that was all we had to worry about, right? And so people kind of learned what the rules were of these institutions, and they were able to manage around it. And you can, you know, develop your own set of rules as a, you know, regular investor, as a retail investor. You could develop rules that profited off of those rules.
We're learning a lot about stock markets today.
Yeah.
Can we find more about the stock market and how it works at yieldsforyou.com?
Yeah, so I actually got a course that I've recently launched called Investing 101, where I go through step by step, right? You know, we're starting with baby steps of, you know, what the market is, how do we invest in it, and from the perspective of a retiree, how do we create, you know, a stable portfolio that does what we need it to do.
Thank you, Leibel. We look forward to hearing from you again next week. Leibel's website is LeibelOnFire.com. That's LeibelOnFire.com. And more New Beginnings is straight ahead. Vault at-home saliva test kits have an expiration date printed on the side of the collection tube. If you have a test kit at home, use it before it expires, and use that rather than going to a testing site in person. After you use your at-home saliva test, you can order another. This message from the Minnesota Department of Health.
You're listening to New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
It's time for It Happened This Week. A new poll is showing many Americans blame the federal government for their financial struggles. The Monmouth University survey found 57% citing it as their most important concern. That's up 34% from this time last year. Gas prices and inflation also top the list of concerns. Officials in Texas believe they may have identified all 53 victims of a deadly smuggling attempt. The medical examiner in San Antonio says they were from Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras. They were all packed into a semi-trailer with no air conditioning and 100-degree heat. The alleged driver and three others are all in federal custody. New Jersey is adding several new gun laws. Democratic Governor Phil Murphy signed the package into law, which was introduced more than a year ago. Among the key changes, training is now required before gun purchases and ammunition sales will be regulated and recorded. Podcaster Joe Rogan is giving former President Trump the cold shoulder. He says he's turned down multiple offers to interview Trump on his popular podcast, The Joe Rogan Experience. On an episode of Lex Fridman's podcast, Rogan says he's not a Trump supporter in any way, shape, or form. And NBA 2K23 will release two special edition covers on September 9th. The Michael Jordan edition features Jordan on the cover, while the championship edition is a portrait of the back of a signed Jordan Bulls jersey. Multiple reports say Phoenix Suns star Devin Booker will also be featured on one of the covers. It happened this week, and I'm Freddie Bell.
Minneapolis Public Housing is right now on New Beginnings with Freddie Bell.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to New Beginnings. And joining us now from the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center is the property manager, Kitty Harris. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning, Freddie. Always a pleasure to be here with you.
Glad you're with us. And for those who are looking for information about the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, where would you direct them?
I would direct them to our Facebook page. So they would go to Facebook.com and they would search in Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Or we always love to hear from people. They can give us a phone call at 612-344-2221.
There's a big event happening at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. Tell us about it.
So it's actually going to be coming up on this Monday, which is going to be July 11th. And we're going to be doing our monthly sing out with our partners at Alive and Kickin'. And we're just so excited that we've been able to bring this program back. This is our third month being able to host it in person at the center. And so it's going to be this Monday, July 11th at 1:30 p.m.
Who is Alive and Kickin'? Let's start there.
So Alive and Kickin' is our senior rock group that is housed here at the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center. And they go throughout the Twin Cities and surrounding suburbs performing different types of genre of music. And they've been a partner here for over 5 years at the senior center. And they just wrapped up their annual show, which is called Life as a Cabaret. And we had the privilege of doing our annual Neighbors Night Out again in person this year, where we took members of the community out to Bloomington and we were able to enjoy a free performance.
Wow. So tell us about the event coming up next Monday.
So this event coming up on Monday is just it's a condensed version of their annual shows. It's our sing out. The requirement is that you don't need to know how to sing. So I always want to preface that with people is that when you come to sing out, we want you to come if you don't know how to sing. It's just an opportunity for us to gather around music, have some snacks, laugh in a safe environment, and just really sing different types of music. Like I said, they sing all genres from pop to rock and roll, R&B, blues. It's at 1:30 p.m. and it's the second Monday of every month. And again, this event is free and open to the community.
There is a health benefit to a sing out like this, isn't there?
Yes, we have found here at Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center that singing helps with our memories. And so the health benefit of you participating in singing is that singing has the ability to access certain, when you're singing song lyrics, has the ability to access certain parts in your brain that trigger those memory glands. And so it's very important that with us being a health and wellness facility, with us being a dementia-friendly facility, that we do things that are always engaging the brain, keeping the brain going. It's just so many benefits that people don't think about when they think about singing, but it has a lot of benefits. And we just invite people to come by and have a great time with us, find out more information about Alive and Kickin', how you can get involved in their mission, because their number one mission is that seniors rock. And they want to make sure that when seniors get of age, that they know that they have a value and a purpose in life.
With the event coming up so quickly, is there a need to register?
Nope, there's no registration required. You can just show up any second Monday of the month at 1:30 p.m. and just rock out with us. And if people want more information, again, they can give us a call at 612-344-2221 and learn about Alive and Kicking in their programs.
She's Kitty Harris, a property manager for the Cora McCorvey Health and Wellness Center, and this is New Beginnings. Now it's time to see what's going on for the new beginners out there. Let's bring in three things with Cassie Crandall.
Thank you, Freddie. Well, excuse my voice, folks. I've got a cold, so my voice is a little off today. Here's my thing number one. I'm really excited about the new Marvel movie with Chris Hemsworth, Thor, Love and Thunder. Very excited about that. You know, I'm a big Marvel fan. That's open this weekend. And it also stars Natalie Portman and Christian Bale. So you know where I'm going to be this weekend. And my thing number two this week, do you have a best friend? I think most of us have, if not one best friend, maybe several best friends or several people that we're really close to, and maybe they fluctuate as to their status of best friend or not. I know I have a handful of really good friends that they're all kind of like best friends, but there's one person that I've been friends with longer than anyone else. And we've been through all sorts of stuff together through our lives. We've been friends for 39 years. And I was reflecting back to that first summer that we spent a lot of time together. It was the summer of 1983. And I would have to say that it was the best summer of my teenage life, maybe the best year altogether. We just had so much fun driving around in her Chevy Nova. It was a lot of carefree time, seeing movies and going on dates, but mostly just spending girl time together and laughing and listening to great music, wearing out cassette tapes. It was just a great summer. Our friendship changed after that summer with boyfriends and school, and later on it was more school and jobs and then fiancés and husbands and moving away from each other. We haven't lived in the same state in probably over 30 years, but we're still best friends. And she still threatens to come and visit me to defend me and back me up. She always has my back, much like my husband. Really thankful for that. Best friends are great. And lastly, my thing number three, just a little quote. What hurts you today makes you stronger tomorrow. And I know that's true. Have a great week, everybody. For New Beginnings, this is Cassie Crandall.
Thanks so much, Cassie. We'll talk to you again next week.
You would do anything to protect the ones you love. Help make sure your child is protected from dangerous diseases by getting them vaccinated. Talk to your doctor or clinic today about the vaccines your child needs and the safety measures they have in place to protect your family during COVID-19. Go to health.mn.us/immunize for more. This message powered by the Minnesota Department of Health.
And now it's time for this week's Point of Focus.
I have a great time with my life, and I want to share it.
Nowadays, a lot of people think of positivity and optimism as something unrealistic, something almost delusional.
It teaches the cultivation of peace of mind as a power center out of which comes driving energy.
This is life and enterprise management.
I love living. I think that's infectious. It's something that you can't fake.
Today's point of focus is tenacity. Tenacity can serve you pretty well. When you push yourself across the finish line or if you complete a project on time, that's tenacity because it can help you succeed. While tenacity is definitely a good thing, sometimes the race is not yours to run. Some projects are better accomplished by slowing down. Sometimes it's better just to wait for that inspiration rather than to force a solution. The key is knowing when to wait for that guidance, when to wait for the ideas, for that success, and the way to move ahead. True tenacity is really a blend between moving forward and waiting for that great inspiration to come. Our point of focus is tenacity. I'm Freddie Bell. If you'd like to learn more, www.freddiebell.com or 888-639-9738. Or email is freddie@freddiebell.com. freddie@freddiebell.com. As New Beginnings continues, we now take you to the spirituality portion of our program, where we introduce the senior minister of Unity South Twin Cities, the Reverend James Stacy. We now join Reverend Stacy with a program already in progress.
We are recreated each and every day. Now, life, which sustains us, allows us to awaken each day, but then we need to do our part. We need to consciously grasp our newness, our recreation, that we are made new each day, and then declare, let there be light in my mind. Let me be aware, awake, zealous, enthusiastic about the life that is expressing new in me each day. Well, let's see. I've got to trade books here. Well, I was thinking summer is a popular time for home projects and church projects. You can see by the bulletin insert this morning how many people have been working together. I even saw, because I come here very early on Sundays, about 6:30 in the morning, and about 7:30 I spotted a garden fairy out there watering all of our flowers so that they could be refreshed and made abundant. And so I thank that individual who is on our list of all the good helpers. And I especially wanted to point out, we're on the verge of something new. A whole new website and system that will be easy to navigate, easy to work, and help each and every one of you interact on a daily basis with Unity South Twin Cities. That's all being designed by Adam Schneider's company. But the way that it has come into being, the way it has gotten started, is because two of our members stepped right up, Mark Johnson and Kelly von Heidenkampf, to give 2/3 of the money toward that project so that it could get underway. And it's not an inexpensive project. And so we're extremely grateful for them. But of course, we are always open to extra gifts, gifts beyond your usual giving, if you wish to designate something toward the website project, you may do so. And to help that along, I believe we expect it to be completed by the end of the summer. So, if you have any suggestions or questions, feel free to approach Adam after the service. So here we are, summertime, project time in the big Twin Cities. I was talking to someone this morning, the first individual to come in, and said, isn't it amazing? Next week is going to be July 3rd, 4th of July weekend, the middle of the summer. How did this happen? Will someone explain it to me after the service? Because I know when I catch my next breath, it's going to be Labor Day, and then I'm going to be thinking about Halloween, but that's kind of fun. The world is marching on quickly, but let's adjust our perspective. Is it really? What a difference a day makes, 24 little hours. I assure you, the planets keep it in order. Time has not changed. It may seem to be moving more quickly to us, but you have no less time this very day than Jesus did. than Moses did, than Thomas Jefferson did, than beautiful Queen Elizabeth does even now. We all have the same amount of time. And when I get really pushed and stressful, I remind myself, great leaders, great creators, great artists, they don't have more time than I do. God has given freely and generously to all of us and all of our life projects. So just drop that error thought that you don't have enough time. You have enough time to do what you choose to do. And be grateful for that. And celebrate it. Now, in doing projects, I certainly could ask Carlotta. I already know some of the answers. Do you have a favorite home center? Do you have a favorite garden nursery? I do. They're good places to go and get inspired for your home and garden projects. What do? You get inspiration, new ideas. You acquire instruction. You learn how to do things. And you can also choose materials and supplies that you need to do your project. Yay! Less all DIY. Do it yourself. Maybe we should begin with some online research or take classes or watch those favorite TV home and garden shows. I do. I get all excited. Then do I do anything with the zeal? Well, there's the catch. But today, let's wait just a minute and let's consult the world's oldest home improvement manual, the Bible. What? What? Reverend Stacy, you must be kidding. That's old stuff. What does that have to do with my life today? All those old books and the kings and leaders through time and all the things they did and the wars they fought, all the trouble they caused, all the things they destroyed and burned down, all those years wandering in the desert. What does that have to do with my life? Well, we're going to take it a little piece at a time. You know that story, or that joke, I guess I should say. How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. How do you approach the Bible? One story at a time. Now, before anybody starts getting uncomfortable, my word, he's going to tell us the Bible from beginning to end this morning. No. We're going to look at that first phase of creation. What many of us are accustomed to calling the first day. 24 little hours. Not really. The first phase or era of creation. Day one. Let there be light. But before I get into that story, I wanted to set a little context for you. Do you know, according to U.S. World News and World Report as of yesterday, and in recent years from the Guinness Book of World Records, this is a setup so you'll know the answer, what is the best-selling book of all time, even today? The Bible.
You just heard a message coming from the Reverend James Stacy, the Senior Minister of Unity South in the Twin Cities. More information is found at their website at unitysouth.org.
Well, that's our show for this week, and a special thanks to Leibel Sternbach with some great information about your retirement money. With career advice, we salute Joe McKenzie, always stopping by with some pertinent information that each of you can put into action this week. Cassie Crandall, we can't say enough about you, and also to our friends at Unity South Twin Cities. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Thank you for making us a part of your weekend. And for everyone who's been a part of this one, I'm Freddie Bell, saying that each day is a chance for a new beginning. Find me online at www.freddiebell.com. Also, follow me on Facebook, Freddie Bell Radio Shows. Oh, yes, and you can also see me on Instagram, simply at Freddie Bell. The same thing for our Twitter page. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next time.